Right now, it is time for Dr. Judy Werfen and Food for Mood. Judy joins us on a Thursday morning. Judy is the author of the Serotonin, a co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Before her voice was still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS, and the terrific story of being a duck midwife, the Journal of a Duck Midwife. Let's bring in Judy right now. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you. Every time you say that about the duck midwife, I always think I should quack in response.
But you should.
In fact, I can't find the duck at all who gave birth on my balcony last year. I keep looking and calling her name, but there's no response.
So no, Sadie.
Who knows where she's gone?
She's probably gone. She probably moved upriver.
Went to a different.
Maybe she found a better balcony.
I was going
to nest on
a better condominium.
Exactly. Maybe with small mortgage rates. Anyway, my topic for today was inspired by the very long-winded complaint of a friend slash neighbor of mine, who was going on and on and on about how her husband, who tends to be exceedingly obsessive about his diet because he's convinced that what he eats or what he doesn't eat has a direct impact on how long he lives, and he is already approaching the age where one perhaps counts how long one lives in years as opposed to decades. And she said that as a result of that, he has chronic gastrointestinal problems, i.e. constipated, other problems. And part of it is because he refuses to eat any carbohydrate. He read a book several years ago about how eating carbohydrates is going to dissolve his brain and cause him to die an early death. And so he lives primarily on protein, and maybe one or two very, very low carbohydrate vegetables like lettuce, for example. And no dairy because he thinks that's going to cause problems. And so he is on protein and fat, you know, butter and steak and chicken and what have you. And she said, no matter what I say, I can't convince him otherwise, you know, to change his diet, even though he knows it may be having a direct impact on his general well-being. And it occurred to me that what she really expressed is how very hard it is to try to move people away from positions they take really on anything, but in this case, their health beliefs, because they have convinced themselves that they're right and what they believe is right, and the problem in getting them to change is a problem that really confronts anybody who tries to get someone to eat better, to exercise, you know, maybe, you know, to stop smoking, to drink less, drink more water, get more sleep, have more time to relax. You can tell people all day long, you do this and you'll be better off for it, and you stop and you continue doing what you're doing and you're going to suffer the consequences. You know, you tell somebody at 40 who says, I'm too old to exercise, which is what a weight loss client once told me, well, if you don't exercise at 40, you'll probably be in a wheelchair by 80. And the person looks at you blankly like, huh? You know, of course, I don't believe that. And so it brings up the problem, how do you tell people to change? And the answer is you can't tell them. You have to convince them somehow. And while I was thinking about this, there was an article that came out of the New England Journal of Medicine last week that talked about how do you convince people about the impact of climate change on their life. And the article said you can't just quote statistics at them because people will say, well, that's not me. And you can't also say, well, I know somebody who was affected by climate change, because the person said, well, that's not me either. And so what you have to sort of do is put the information in such a way as that person might think, well, yeah, maybe that does apply to me, and maybe, you know, I really should take it seriously. And I guess, you know, one could say to this guy, you know, two out of three people who don't eat any kind of fiber in their diet, you know, may not, you know, live as long or something as people who follow your diet. But one of the things that occurred to me is that what you really have to do is to say, okay, you don't believe in what I'm telling you, then why don't you just try it for a week? Try eating more fiber. Try getting more exercise. Try going to sleep earlier. Try relaxing. And simply see how you feel. And if you might not be aware of how you feel, keep a journal. know, just write down, you know, every day in a calendar on your cell phone how you felt. Are you feeling more perky in the morning because you got 8 hours sleep last night? Are you, you exercising and you really feel more energetic as a result of that? You find yourself walking a little faster? Are you eating better and you just suddenly feel better? Are you relaxing a little more and find that you really have more headspace and mental energy and emotional energy than when you went constantly without stopping, without any time for relaxing? Because it seems to me that the only way you can get people to really change is to convince them that when they change, they are directly impacted by, positively, by what they're doing.
You can't.
You know, it's interesting you say that because you have to be aware of your body. I, over the past month and a half, have had a soft stool, okay? And
So I was just going to interrupt, so keep going.
And
somebody else.
And so what I've done is I've tried taking things out of my diet, and finally it's getting better, and I found out exactly what it was.
So it's
diet. It's zero. This zero sugar soda that has a tremendous amount of aspartame in it, and it affects that. So now, what I've decided to do is I'm going to order any soda I order is going to be regular soda, and it's going to be in the small cans that are 100 calories a can, which will give me what I want. And I'm starting to drink water again, which I really don't like the taste of water. But you have to look at your own body and
notice
these things.
But you have to be willing. So I was going to go to a similar story. I wasn't going to go totally into the poop thing. But this is someone else who has she has eaten healthily her entire life, you know, or at least carefully, relatively. But has had all sorts of physical problems, and through I think it was Stanford there was a program in basically an anti-inflammatory diet that she threw up her hands and tried because she was pretty miserable about everything else.
Yeah.
Anyway, the long short is I asked her just in passing how it was going, and she said, all right, this is going to be graphic, but this is, and this goes back to your friend's husband. She said, this is the first time in my life that I have gone to the bathroom normally.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah.
She said, you don't understand. And I was, you know, and if you read, if you go back to Culpepper's Herbal, right, or you read anything from the 60s, if you go back in time before we got pharmaceuticalized, you know, that was one thing that the doc, it's like, hey, if it goes in and it comes out, what's the condition of how it comes out? Because if it's coming out not right, then what's going in is wrong. It's real easy. You have to have the awareness to know that, and I'm now going to throw in the possibly apocryphal, go on, Marshall.
I was just wondering, how do you approach this person, this who is so set in the ways, and especially at that age, it's almost impossible to approach.
So can I just say it is easier?
Especially the spouse, the wife, usually, is the last person
that they're going to listen to.
Other spouse will listen to.
Right. And so I'm going to go back. Apocryphally, we have no idea whether Twain said this, but it's easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled.
Yeah.
There
has to be somebody with some authority and not somebody that you read up, who's writing online anything, because nobody is going to bother checking it. And not all doctors have that information either. I mean, people follow certain diets if they have IBS, for example, and irritable bowel syndrome, and there's a special diet called FOMAP, F-O-M-A-P, which really makes a very, very big difference in people who have inflammatory problems. But it's almost by word of mouth. Did you try this? Well, why don't you try it? See what happens. And frankly, it is the trying. Because if it doesn't work, then don't continue doing it.
Yeah, but actually, we should use Marshall as a test case because, you know, half the time, it's useless unless you figure it out for yourself.
Well, you know, the point is, Marshall, you said you just go systematically
through
everything that you're eating.
Well, that's
I'm amazed that you came across this because most people would not have even thought about it.
Well,
but
the reason I thought about it,
smart enough to know that.
But also, the reason I thought about it is with this infection that I have, I have systematically we're going through test after test after test after test. And it's like when you've got an allergy and how they test you test after test. You just have to take the time, if you care about yourself, and say to yourself, okay, we're going to add, remove.
But by the same token, every time I yent about diet soda, you're like...
No, I know, but
So that's to Judy's point. It's like every time I say, it's got some stuff in it. So there has to be a willingness.
You have to keep track of it. You can't just say, well, I think I feel better.
Yeah.
Because you have to go back and say, okay, was I sleeping better? Was I getting up less at night? Did I feel more energetic? Did I feel less energetic? Did I feel really lethargic? Did it give me a headache? Did the headache go away? I mean, it's like I have a relative who has terrible migraines, and she's tried all sorts of dietary interventions. Most of them just don't work. And she said, okay, I tried cutting out caffeine, sugar, blah, 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 and my migraines are still there. So clearly, that wasn't the answer. So it works both ways.
Yeah.
And Marshall, you're a wonderful example. You found something. Now, I would not say that the answer is to put sugar. I mean, because
no.
I think you might find eating sugar in another form might be more satisfying. But maybe you should try that SodaStream or whatever it is, making your own carbonated beverages.
We had one. It's not the same. But whatever, we let Marshall work through it and find. He's actually pretty good once he finds a solution. And even a little water is going to help.
Yeah, exactly. But again, the point is, you are your own body, and you can experiment on yourself normally, naturally, without doing anything that's going to cause you any problems, and keep track of it. And if it works, gee, maybe that suggestion was right. And if it doesn't work, forget about it. As they say in Brooklyn.
Forget about it. Thank you very much, Dr. Okay. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy, of course, on Thursday mornings here at Robin Hood Radio and also on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Food for Mood with Judy Wortman.